We're in Galatians. Well, it's understandable. I mean, Shelley and Jim were on vacation for, well, last week was in Virginia Beach. And the week before that, well, you guys went to camping, right? So you were not here for 2 weeks. So we were 2 weeks into Galatians. So understandable. All right. Brothers and sister, Galatians chapter 3. Chapter 3. Like I said, how many of you went back and read the whole letter and just from chapter 1 to chapter 6? And I read it again and I'm just surprised by the language that Paul uses, you know. And there's some really pretty vulgar language. I mean, they translate it into a pretty tan, you know, that so we as Christian, you know, we don't want to hear these language. But he used some really, really vulgar language. You know, later on you see in chapter 5, he's talking about these people who were advocating for circumcisions. And Paul says he wished them just to do the whole thing rather than just to circumcise, castrate themselves. That's what he means. But the words of translate is emasculate. Emasculate. But basically what he means is that, you know, if you want to do the whole thing, just complete it. So I got that, you know, feeling from reading Paul's letters, scriptures with such vulgar language. But, you know, these are important issues that Paul wants to bring out. And his rejections of those people who spread false gospel. I mean, he was upset. So the emotions, that's what I got from reading again from 1 to 6, the emotion that he carries throughout this letter. And the reason he was emotional is because he's passionate about the truth of the gospel. So today, he's jumping to a subject that most of these Jews understand. Now, the Galatian church is probably a mixed congregations. There's Jews and there are Gentiles. So he deal with both issues, the Gentile issues and the Jewish issues. But before I jump into the text, have you heard the wonderful stories about people who do good things? You know, I know that in Richmond there is a law firm that always nominate for the hometown heroes, those people who did good things for the city of Richmond. And they will give them a reward and put them on TV and saying that what they have done. You know, I always wonder if these people were Christians. You know, I think in the back of our mind, that is a hallmark of a Christian, is that he does good. He has good behavior. He is a law-abiding citizen. So that's what we always think. Goodness comes before faith. Goodness is more important as a testimony than our belief. I mean, ultimately, I think that's what will happen. But if goodness without faith means nothing to God, It does not bring you closer to God. In fact, it may even drive you away from God. You know why? Because you boast about your goodness. I am a good man. I win this good citizen, good hometown heroes award. It might drive you. It does not give you a sense of humility because you've done all these good things and all these people are praising you. But goodness, work, we talk about, you know, your good work is necessary as a result of your faith. Because without that, your faith is what? Worthless. Your faith is worthless. So there is definitely a who comes first, egg or chicken comes first. There's definitely a that. In the eyes of Paul, in the eyes of the scripture, is that faith comes first. Faith produces good work. But good work does not produce faith. In fact, like I said, good work often drives you away from faith because the pride. So this is what Paul is arguing in Galatians chapter 3. He uses language that Jewish are familiar with. So at first when you read it, you say, oh, this is a fight between Paul and his Jewish culture and traditions. What has it got to do with me? We are contemporary Christians. We don't have those background and traditions. I don't consider obeying law is in on my radar. In fact, I probably don't even know what all the law's requirements are. But in fact, this is a spiritual battle between God's way and man's way. Translate into the language of faith, God's way, and work, man's way. So Paul began chapter 3, verse 1 to verse 5, with a series of rhetorical questions. Rhetorical questions. You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Before your very eyes, Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed as crucified. I would like to learn just one thing from you. Did you receive the Spirit by observing the law or by believing what you heard? Rhetorical questions. Rhetorical question is highlighting certain truths to them. Verse 3, are you so foolish? After beginning with the Spirit, are you now trying to attain your goal by human effort? Another rhetorical question. Have you suffered so much for nothing? If it is really for nothing? Rhetorical question. Verse 5. Does God give you His Spirit and work miracles among you because you observe the law or because you believe what you heard? Rhetorical question means that these people know the right answer. So Paul just asked them, did you receive the Spirit by observing the law or by believing what you heard? You know, this is a mixed congregation, right? There are people who were born again. These people, I believe, are born again Christians. They all have a real experience of indwelling of the Holy Spirit, because he mentioned Holy Spirit several times in this questions, rhetorical question sections. They have experienced the joy of their salvation. They have experienced peace in the midst of suffering, because he talked about you suffer. You've gone through the sufferings. They have experienced God's love through Jesus Christ, their Lord. They understand the redeeming nature of the crucifixions and believe in the resurrections. This is the Christian experience. This is what it means to believe to be born again. These people were born again. Now, a few agitators come among them and say, unless you obey the law of Moses and receiving Jesus Christ, you're not saved and or justified before God. And she said, did you receive the Spirit? The Spirit was not given to people who obey the law, but given to those who believe in Jesus Christ. So you have the Spirit as an evidence. Why do you abandon something you already have to go after something you hope to get? That's foolishness. That's what Paul is saying, is asking them. You started with Spirit, now you're going backwards. But I just want to highlight something here. You know, these people is not abandoning Christ. These people are not people say, okay, now I don't want to believe in Jesus anymore. But these people were told Jesus Christ by himself is not enough. It's not enough. It's not Jesus alone. Paul is advocating, is preaching, and the gospel is telling us Jesus Christ alone is enough for your salvation. To believe in him, to have faith in him, put your trust in him alone is enough for salvation. And these Judaizers from Jerusalem says, okay, I grant you Jesus Christ, what he did. He died and he rose again and all that. I grant you that, but you still have to be doing these other things in order to be justified, in order to become righteous before God. So I just want you to know these are different. It's not like, don't believe in Jesus, come back to Moses. You know, reject Jesus, come back to Moses. It's merely saying, you can have Jesus, but you also must have Moses too. You must also have Moses. Now, I'm wondering, if Paul were here today, what kind of question would he ask us? You know, these Christians are a Jewish background, right? So to them, the law is what they grow up with. It's what they grow up with. They had to go to synagogue. They had to read the law of Moses every Saturday. So these agitators come and says, come back. You know, if they believe in Jesus Christ, they'd be ostracized, isolated from their communities, their families, their friends. It's a high price to pay to be living out there alone or having to join a brand new community with a bunch of Gentiles, unclean people. It is not a comfortable feeling for these Jews. So when the agitator from Jerusalem comes, okay, you can have Jesus too, but come back to worship with us. Come back and obey and still have Moses. So you can have best of both worlds. You can have Jesus and you can have Moses. So that's their mindset. That's the enticement for them to go back. Their comfort zone, what they are trained up to be, their community. I wonder today, as if Paul were here today, what kind of question would he ask us? I'll give you an example. This is what I thought of. What does faith in Christ mean to you? Have you resorted back to your comfortable way to resolve issues and problems? How about in time of crisis? What do you do? In time of trouble, what do you do? In time of dire circumstances, Where is the trust in the Holy Spirit during those times? You know, I feel a lot of time that we sort of kind of have two kind of parallel lives. We have one life, the church life. We believe in Jesus Christ. We come, we speak the same language, we all enjoy each other's fellowship, and we have inspiring messages from the pastors, maybe. But then we have another life. After we leave church, my school life, my professional life, my other lives, and I'm still living in that world. In other words, there's somehow there is no merging of your faith taking the lead of your life before. What Paul is saying to the Galatians is that you are born again. You have a new life. The old has passed. Your life in your Jewish culture is gone. You have to somehow to integrate your new life into whatever culture that you had before. It's not to say that you reject your parents, reject your brothers and sisters who are still believing in Moses, law of Moses, who's still observing. It's not saying that you rejecting them, but you also have to understand who you are now. Who you are now. And you know, the problem, I think, with us today, it's the same issue as these Jews. Even though we don't go back to Moses, you know, we don't go back in observing the law of Moses, but we do go back to our own experiences before. How we handle these kind of situations before. How are we to relate to our parents? How are we to look at our career? So in a sense is that we are still in the dilemma like these people. Except our choice is not law of Moses. Our choice is that our way of doing things are we getting used to and are trusting in our own effort, our own smartness, our own life experiences. That is, I think that's what Paul would ask. Because after all, it's not about, you know, the law of Moses. It's about new life in Christ. Because Paul says that later on. He says, it doesn't matter if you're circumcised or not circumcised. You know? But what is matter is a new life in Christ. And for these Christians, they have a hard time integrating that life into their old culture, their old way. And so are we. We having a difficult time integrating that. And Paul said, you must choose. You must depend. You must trust God. He's talking about the Spirit. Later on in chapter 5, he talks about what does it mean to walk in the Spirit. More practical issue. But right now, he just wants to get that concept, that mindset into these Christians. You receive the Spirit of God through what you hear, through the gospel. God gave you his Spirit. Don't neglect that. You are a new creature in Christ. So he is challenging the Galatians to think more by these rhetorical questions. But then he went on to talk about Abraham. Because Abraham is the epitome of faith, right? We call him the father of faith. So Paul brought Abraham into this discussions, into what he has to say. Verse 6 to verse 10. Consider Abraham. He believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness. Understand then that those who believe are children of Abraham. The scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentile by faith and announce the gospel in advance to Abraham. All nations will be blessed through you. So those who have faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. So Paul here is saying the gospel has been preached to Abraham. He says, man, you know, I thought gospel is about Jesus Christ and him crucified, right? Now how does that, the gospel that Paul says here is preached to Abraham? Well, I think he's not talking about the content, but he's talking about how we are to be justified before God. That is part of the gospel, right? It is not by your work. It's the gift of God through faith in Jesus Christ. So this faith element is an important element in the gospel, in the receiving of the justification, in the receiving of righteousness. Faith is important. So Paul highlighted that to us, to the Galatians, by bringing Abraham into the picture. Now, everybody knows the story of Abraham, right? And we just read it as we, before we take communion, what Abraham did. But here, why does he bring Abraham into the discussions? Well, not just because of faith. Abraham is father of faith, but also when Abraham was justified before God. When? Is that before the law or after the law was given? Those of you who read the Bible, Daniel, you have anything to say? Before. Yes, because law of Moses came after Abraham, right? Moses is after Abraham. So what he's saying is that, God justified, God credited righteousness to Abraham even before the law. So why are you now holding on to this law and saying, this is going to be also my justifications? It doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense. He said, from the very beginning, he says, the gospel was preaching to Abraham. From the very beginning, it was all about faith. Faith in what God has to say. What does Abraham believe? Abraham hasn't heard about Jesus Christ, right? Abraham probably had never imagined that God would become a man and die on the cross and then rose again in 3 days. Abraham doesn't know that. But Abraham knew what God said to him. We just read in Romans chapter 4. God said to him, you're going to have a son. Even though there is no reason for Abraham to believe that he could have a son. But he believed. He believed God's promise. He believed God has the ability to deliver his promise. That's faith. And that is what God credited to him as righteousness. So, the gospel was preached to him. It's about faith. Believing what God has said. Our faith, our saving faith, we believe what God says about Jesus Christ. We believe what God says about Jesus, his one and only son. He died on the cross for our sin to redeem us from the judgment of God, and then rose again in 3 days for our new life, to give us new life. We believe this is what God's plan, because you haven't seen it, right? You were not there when Jesus Christ was crucified. You were not there to see the empty tomb. But you believe, because someone preached to you. These Galatians hasn't seen all that happen, but they believe what Paul tells them. This is God's way. This is God's way for salvation. So they believe. So what Paul is trying to say is that it's from the very beginning. It's about believing what God said. Remember the temptation of Eve? What did the serpent tempt Eve? Is this what God says? Is this what God says? Did God really say that? And then putting doubts in Eve's heart. And that's how she fell into temptations. If she had believed and hold on to that faith, maybe it would be a different world today. I don't know. But how about Noah? We're talking about, this is from the very beginning now. This is the beginning of mankind. How about Noah? When God told him there will be a flood, what did he do? He built a boat. Right? So he can survive. Nobody else believe. And they all die. So from the very beginning, is that it is about the operating, our responding to God, to God's word, to God's way, is by faith. It's always by faith. So, but you know, this faith is not just any faith, you know, any old faith. I believe I can fly, so I fly. There's a song about that. You know, I believe I can fly, and it's not that kind of belief. The object of your belief makes all the difference. You know? So who do you believe makes all the difference? Who the God says to believe? What did God says? You believe in what God says, not conjure up some kind of strange faith in yourself. I believe I can do all this. I believe. When Paul says that, I believe I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It's not just I believe I can do this. No, you believe through Christ. You believe what God says about Jesus. That's your salvations. That's your salvations. You know, and Romans 10 verse 18 says, if you confess that Jesus Christ is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, and you shall be saved. Right? You believe because God said it. Because God said it. So Paul wants to bring up the argument for believing is the basis for justifications, for to be counted, to be credited as righteousness. Paul wants to bring that up. Because this is the debate that Paul is trying to argue for the Galatians. Belief, faith, or work? Observing the law. Okay, so he made that point. Verse 1 to 5, he wants to bring up their experiences and to sort of call them out from being so foolish. And then verse 6 to 10, Paul talks about this is the faith. This is what we're talking about. This is why faith is reasonable. It's critical to be justified before God. And then he goes back. Then he goes to talk about law, verse 10 to verse 14. You know, it is hard, I think, for Paul to say law is not enough, because he was a lawyer. He was a Pharisee. He says, confess that he was, you know, advanced, you know, in the law of Judaism more than his contemporary. So I think it's hard for Paul to sort of kind of reject that. Reject the law. But did he reject the law? Did he say, let's not talk about law anymore? Okay, let's just enjoy Jesus Christ and the freedom we have in Jesus. No, Paul only reject law as a means to salvation. He did not reject the law. Can you imagine a intersections, four lane intersection without traffic light. Chaos. That's what the law is for our humanity. It's to bring order into our society. The law. Traffic law is a good example of it. But traffic law does not make you a good citizen, does it? People who want to violate traffic law still do. You have tickets to prove it. Right? We all have tickets to prove it. Does not change you. Traffic law does not change you. It's the same way with the law of Moses. Does not change you. The law of Moses does not change you. And here, Paul is talking about a new life. A new life. So, he says, okay, verse 10, all who rely on observing the law are under a curse, for it is written, curse is everyone who does not continue to do everything written in the book of the law. Okay, so first of all, we want to be clear. Law is not a curse. God did not give you the law to curse you. But the curse comes from what? The curse comes from continue to do everything written in the law, book of law. In other words, people like these Jewish Judaizers, we call them, believe the law can justify them. If they observe the law, they're justified. They are credited. They are called righteous. Paul says, no, it's impossible. Because what? Because if you want to be the law, using law as your basis for salvation, then you have to obey it completely, all the time. You can completely, all the time. 100%. You cannot make any mistakes. Miscalculations. You cannot say, I do not know. Because it's your responsibility to know, to obey, to observe 24/7. And Paul's point is that no one can do that. That is the curse. That is the curse. For anyone who believes observing the law will give them justification, righteousness, that is the curse. That is the curse. And verse 11, clearly, no one is justified before God by the law, if this is the way. Because the righteous will live by faith. Righteous will live by faith. The law is not based on faith. On the contrary, the man who does these things will live by them. In other words, do them all the time. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, curse is everyone who is hung on a tree. He redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentile through Christ Jesus, so that by faith we might be received the promise of the Holy Spirit. Now, does it make any sense now that you say, absolutely not. I cannot depend on the law. By depending on obedience to the law to be justified by God. It has to be by faith. By faith, believing in what God says. Abraham believed God. And the gospel is preached to Abraham. So all of us who are children of Abraham, by faith, are also received the same blessings. Same blessing. By faith, believing Jesus Christ. By faith, faith in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified. And not by observing the law. So, law is is not cursed. Lord is not, Lord does what he's supposed to do. Lord does what he's supposed to. The law supposed to show you that you are sinful. This is Romans 3:20. Law is to show you are sinful. And law also, according to Paul, in later on, in chapter 3:24, the next section, 3:24, Galatians 3:24. Law is to what? Was put in charge to lead us to Christ, that we may be justified by faith. See, law's function is not to justify you. The law's function is to reveal to you that you can't do it. That your heart is wicked. You know, and then you trying to finagle the law. You're trying to explain the law to your own liking. You obey what you want to obey. Ignore what you don't want to obey. Reveal the heart. The law is to reveal the heart. And then when you see your own wickedness, what do? If you are truly one who seek God, you say, what should I do? This is what Peter did when he preached that first sermon. And these people heard what he said. And it was cut to the heart. And says, what shall we do? What shall we do? And Peter told them, believe in Jesus Christ. And see, that's what the law is to drive you to Jesus Christ to receive the grace through faith. That's what the law is. A law is never intended to be your way of salvation. And so Paul tells them, how you foolish Christians, you already received Jesus by faith. Now you want to go back. You want to go back and say, okay, I want Moses too. No, if you have Moses, you can't have Christ. If you have Christ, you cannot have Moses. They're mutually exclusive because they're mutually opposing each other. Later on, you read about that. The children of Hagar and slave, and the children of free man, Isaac. They're opposing each other. They're not complementing to each other. So you can only have one. So we are so grateful. As you and I mean, can't say you are better people than me. I am just glad the Lord gave me that gospel. It's by faith. I believe, and then I'm justifying. Rather than having to look at my conduct, my work, or what I'm thinking. So praise God for that, and Paul make it absolutely clear. Absolutely clear. You can't have both. You can only have one. Either Christ alone, or nothing. Nothing will save you. No one can save you except Christ alone. Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus, for these convictions that Paul has, because he received it as a revelation, and he wants to make sure nothing will contaminate this or dilute this truth. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, that he left this to us so that we understand is that the gospel, the core of the gospel, and never changing gospel. Thank you that you give us faith to receive it. Thank you, Jesus, that by faith that we are accredited righteousness. In Jesus' name, amen.